Warning. The following podcast is intended for the open-minded. This episode might include one or more of the following. Sarcasm. Irony. Satire. Topics of interest to you. Topics not of interest to you. Topics not of interest to anybody. Inside jokes. A flair for the dramatic. Improvisation. Meandering conversations. Stream of consciousness. River of consciousness, and an all-round general lack of context. If any of these things are of interest to you, then you have come to the right place. Welcome to Witty Banter.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Witty Banter, the podcast where I talk to interesting people. I'm your host, Chris McGinnis, and my guest this time is, once again, Chikara senior official Bryce Remsburg. I figured it would be appropriate to have Bryce on the podcast, seeing as how we're about a week away from Chikara's Season 16 premiere, January 30th at the Chikara Wrestle Factory in Philadelphia. Bryce and I talk a little about the upcoming season, we reflect a little on the past season, Season 15, and just generally, you know, have a good old conversation. There are some audio issues in the podcast, so I do apologize for that in advance. I was talking with Bryce via Skype. He was on cell phone, and he was walking through Philadelphia on the way to the Franklin Institute to host an evening of Quizzo that evening. So there are goes real low. So again, I apologize in advance for the audio issues, and if need be, turn your speakers up in order to hear it. All that notwithstanding, I hope you enjoy, so let's toss it over to me and Bryce. See you on the other side.
Okay, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Witty Banter, the podcast where I talk to interesting people. And definitely a very interesting person. Your friend and mine, Chikara senior official, Bryce Remsburg. Bryce, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'll do my best to be interesting. I make no promises. I can be very boring sometimes, but I'll try really hard for you tonight.
It's like, oh, you boring pshaw.
I want to apologize. I'm walking through the city of Philadelphia. Ambulances or fire trucks or police, I have no control over this. I'm not quite that interesting to overtake the fire and police departments, but I'll do my best.
Not the problems. I guess you could say that's, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess disclaimer to the audience. If you hear sirens or anything, don't worry. It's not you. It's just Philadelphia being itself.
Yes. Although I agree that they should not be allowed on radio songs. I feel that's very unfair.
Yes, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does happen, it throws me off for a second, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait.
It's kind of the worst. It really should be allowed.
Yes.
Yep. I'm also fighting with a Starbucks cup that is not closed correctly. Are you a Starbucks man, Chris?
Not really.
Any coffee in general. These lids, they seem like they're closed, but they're not. Inevitably, you end up dribbling coffee all over yourself. And I don't know why that is, because it seems like the lids are closed, but they're not.
I've definitely experienced that before. Like, not so much with coffee, but I know sometimes that, like, occasionally with, like, drinks at Sheets and Wawa and whatnot, for some reason, they just can't quite get the lid on, and it's like, you know, yeah. I'm going to lose, like, a couple drops of this, and that's going to annoy me.
Yeah, you have to have to nail it. That's exactly right. Yes. So I think the answer is just to drink a bunch.
Indeed. Yeah. But, you know, let's drift away from things that are annoying. Let's talk about things that are fantastic, namely Season 15 of Chikara. What a season it was.
A lot of new places. Our first, the UK tour, a massive undertaking known as the Challenge of the Immortals. And, we went to a couple new markets. We hit up Minnesota for the first time, which is the farthest we've gone from home base, stateside ever. We went to Florida in 2013, but Minneapolis is a bit longer of a drive. And, exciting things, some new faces, some groundwork laid for some interesting things to come in Season 16, and I can't believe it's been 15 whole seasons. It makes me feel really old every time I hear that number. But here we are.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Season 16 too. I think I was really thrilled that you guys went to the UK for the first time last year. I know It'll be 9 years this summer that I've been following you guys. And if someone had told me when I first started, hey, guess what, they're going to go to England one day, I thought, well, maybe, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that, you know, you guys have come that far over so long a time, like, it makes me happy to, you know, be a supporter of you guys. And the fact that you're going back again this year and it's anniversary weekend, I can't help but be jealous of the folks who are going to get to see you.
Yeah, going to Scotland for the first time. I'm very interested in that, very excited about that. More close to home exciting things going on. That's the car Tokyo kind of took off during 2013. To have such a back catalog available at your disposal for $7.99 a month is just an amazing thing. You don't have to wait in the mail. You make the payment, it's right there in front of you anytime you want, anywhere you go. You can watch, you know, the newest Jakar event or classic Jakar event. It's really cool and it's fun for us, like kind of a walk down memory lane and go back and you're trying to think of a match, trying to think of the way something went. It's right there at your computer. It's right there. You know, I watched it work sometimes. Like, it's amazing. And really having a home base known as the Jakar Wrestle Factory. Like, we've had, I guess this is our fourth Wrestle Factory, but this is really the first space that we are able to really own. We're not sharing with anyone, or we come in on certain nights. Like, it's our spot. We can decorate how we want. We can use the time as we want. And with the new tiered curriculum system that Mike has created, it's more affordable than ever to try wrestling trainings. All these free seminars, you just want to come and check it out. We have over 40 students enrolled in between tiered and core curriculum at the Wrestle Factory right now, which is amazing. There were days where there were two or three. Now we have over 40. The tiered curriculum is kind of based off of improv training. I don't know if you're familiar, but like, the 101, the 201, the 301, the 401, which is, it's really cool. It's really exciting. Every time I go, there's a new face. And the fact that we can have events in our own controlled environment, it's like having an event in your basement or having an event in your garage. Or, you know, it's really cool. And we're going to see a lot of that throughout season 16, I believe.
It's definitely a very nice looking facility. I was glad to go to, Babylon Springs, the last one you had there last season, and I'm like, wow, this place is more spacious than I thought, because like, I've only ever seen it in, you know, short video clips posted on Facebook. It doesn't quite give you the scale of how much room there actually is in there.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the perfect spot. No one's that far from the ring. At capacity, I guess we can have about 250 people there. Feels intimate, but not, you know, like, it's cool and exciting. There's a lot of ideas with what we can start doing there in the future, you know, hosting kids' birthday parties. Like, it's our spot. We can do whatever we want with it. That's really exciting, and a whole new method of use of creativity, and it's cool to have a home base that we're actually proud of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember, like, when I decided to go to, that show, Babylon Springs, I thought, okay, yeah, I know it's a smaller venue, I know it's general admission. It's like, man, this is just like when I started going to shows. Get there like an hour or so before the door opens to make sure I have a good place in line and a good seat. It was like, so it was kind of a throwback for me also, in a way.
Yeah. No, I back when I used to be in the indie wrestling, there's a lot of more buildings of that spot. I mean, it's more than just a garage. It's really, you know, the way we've been able to light it and stuff. Like, it's cool. It's very cool, and like I said, there's a lot of ideas of stuff we can do there, ways we can make it look. So, just to have that opportunity to have a spot. Like, the arena's cool, and it feels like a big deal when we do events in the arena, but this is more intimate. This is more our speed. This is more kind of the interactions and levels of interactivity that our characters can have with our fans is much more suited for a smaller building, I believe. Oh. And no guardrails as well, which is something we're a big fan of. No guardrails.
Yes, yeah. I agree with you. I mean, granted, you know, without the guardrails, you know, the audience has to be, you know, on their toes a little bit more often, but you know, that's definitely something that you come to learn and become accustomed with after, you know, following, you know, the company for so long that if you see someone like within like 5 feet of you, run the opposite direction.
Yeah, and it's part of the experience. We want people to, you know, we don't want there to be barriers. We want people to feel like they're part of the event, they're on the same level as the guys, you know, makes it a lot easier for guys who aren't in the crowd. Sometimes we'll bring kids in the ring. Like, guardrails are just, that's too impersonal. That's too big time. We like having guardrails, like having that just kind of open space that nothing's really separating the crowd and the performers.
Right. And it's interesting you phrase like that, saying, you know, there being, you know, no barrier between, you know, the guys on the roster and the people in the crowd. I mean, I know, like, when we start here, I, you know, introduce using the phrase, you know, your friend and mine. And a lot of times that seems cliche, but, I honestly legitimately do consider you and a lot of the guys on the roster friends of mine. Like I said, I've been going to shows for almost, you know, 9 years now. I feel like, you know, like a lot of us, I know I always, you know, find time to, like, talk to a lot of guys. They're like you, I'm such, like, you, Dasher, Ophidian, they always ask, you know, what I'm doing theater-wise and so forth. And it seems like almost every couple of shows or so, like, one other person, you know, like, one other new person, like, addresses me by name that I didn't know, you know, knew me by name before. Like, it clicked in when Night One of King of Trios this year, I'm walking by the merch tables, and I walk by, you know, the Batiris table, and, you know, they call me over, like, you need a new shirt. I'm like, yeah, I'll think about it. As I'm walking away, Kodama says, all right, come on, Chris, it's time for a new shirt. I'm like, oh, no. Kodama knows me my name. I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, they know your name. You just go run it now.
Well,
yeah, no, it's a personal atmosphere, and I feel like maybe you can attest to some of your theater work that, big crowds are great and everyone makes money and it's fantastic, but sometimes it's some of the best experiences, some of the best nights, and I think that's from my comedy work, like the small intimate events where no one's more than four or five rows on stage and everybody's been on the jokes and everybody hears them, like, those are some of the best moments, and we look forward to making a lot of those this season of the rest of the
Factory. Yeah, and for all I've seen so far, there's a lot of shows planned for the Wrestle Factory this year. A lot of double shot shows also, which I think is really cool.
A lot of what shows? I'm sorry.
Double shots.
Yes. Double headers. Basically, we can tell two different kinds of stories in one day. The roster becomes so large to accommodate everyone. It's going to be, you're going to see a whole different set of characters on the afternoon event as the evening event. And we can offer something for everyone, you know. Shorter, but more concise events, you know. I think the way the world is going is in the direction of a shorter attention span. Topping in with 3.5 hours long. I don't think there's going to be too many 3.5 hour events at the Wrestle Factory. That's kind of a King of Trios season finale type thing. So
right.
We can get in, get out, have some quicker, more concise events, have all the characters represented in one day, and everybody gets to, almost everybody gets to sleep in their bed that night, which is, as I get older, I realize the value of that.
Yes, indeed. I definitely have no aversion to, like, more, you know, concise events, because, you know, I will admit, you know, I love every time I have the show. I always have, you know, such fun, like, watching the matches, interacting with, you know, everyone that I'm sitting in the audience with, but, you know, at the same, depending on where it is, it's like a 2.5 hour drive home for me, so. Being done earlier, I have no issue with that.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the very end of that. I've won the buses. I'm sorry.
That's right. Like I said, it, you know, I love, you know, every aspect of the show, but depending on where it is, it's like a 2.5 hour drive home for me afterwards. So.
Sure. Yeah. No. And you know, it's worth a trip with two events if you so choose. Now for people traveling from out of town, and yeah, I mean. These big, long, epic movies, you know, you'll see, like, a three-hour movie. Once in a while, it's fun, but more often than not, I find myself kind of scrubbing in my seat, wondering when it's going to be over. I think we can tell a lot of the same stories in 2 to 2.5 hours than telling it 3 to 3.5 hours. So, yeah, fun times ahead in a fun area, in a fun location. And we hope everyone will join us on Saturday, January 30th, either in the afternoon at 2 p.m. for a big Phoenix or in the evening at 7 p.m. for 5 cents. Mm-hmm. Working on some more extra things to connect, make a whole day of it, as it were, in the area.
Good stuff, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm planning on being there. I'm planning on being at both shows. I'm very interested to see, you know, the title matches both that weekend. NRG defending against the Nightmare Warriors, and then Princess Kimberly defending against Oleg. You know, let's talk a moment about that. Like, how did it feel to be the referee in that match, raising the hand of the first female Chikara Grand Champion after she came out of nowhere and defeated Hell Wicker?
Well, it quite literally all happened so fast, and I had a moment to kind of drink it in, and then he got to the back, and it was like, wow, how about this? And, you know, next thing I know, Zia's taking pictures of her with the belt, and, you know, social media blowing up, and different blogs and podcasts are asking to interview me to talk about it, and then it's on Rolling Stone, and it's all in the span of 1 week. And Kim's great. You know, she's very talented. She's a student of the game. She was trained by Drew Gulak, and I think she's one of the finest wrestlers out there in the world right now. That's quite a pedigree behind her. And just to see this all come together, it was like, wow, you know, this is a big deal. And now to be about a month or so past it and reflect on it, it's like, it's really exciting and amazing, but now she's going to defend that belt. And Oleg the Usurper is no small task.
No, that's it. Literally and figuratively, he is no small task.
Yeah. And especially now, I mean, we saw a fair amount of title matches last year, but now that Challenge of the Immortals is over, every singles match is a point for the Grand Championship. Every tag team match is a point towards a Campeonato's opportunity. So I think we're going to see, you know, the titles are going to become all the more valuable of a property and a hot potato possibly. This season. So, yeah, Oleg, I imagine, if Kim can get past Oleg, is only the first in the quite fine of a title challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, so that was, yeah, that was definitely, you know, quite an unbelievable moment. Like, it, like, quite literally came, like, came out of no, like, it came out of nowhere. I remember, like, well, the whole season finale was a roller coaster of emotion. I think definitely, like, for me, like, when Director of Fun, Mike Quackenbush, came out to unveil the new Chikara yearbook, and then all of a sudden, Archibald Peck pops in from out of nowhere.
How about that? I don't even know where he came from. That was amazing. I think top to bottom, Toppenana was one of our finest all-around events that we've had since the return, if not the finest. I think it really was a great exemplar. It exemplified what we're all about from top to bottom. Athletic fun. Wrestling and a little bit of comedy here and storytelling and, you know, fans crying when the Collie reunited,
mm-hmm.
Kim winning the belt. There's so much going on. It was a really feel-good night. It was just the exclamation point, of course, is Kim winning the belt, but as a whole, just reflecting on the whole night, is just, you can feel it when you know you hit a home run. I thought we were all guns ablaze and all, everything was a well-oiled machine on December 5th, and it was a really good feeling to reflect on what we had pulled off.
Absolutely, unless I'm definitely looking forward to what season 16 has to offer. I'm very interested in seeing the fact that the Young Lions Cup tournament is coinciding with National Pro Wrestling Day this year.
Yes, totally free in Reading, Pennsylvania on Saturday, February the 6th. It's going to be one big mega event. This isn't going to be two little events like you might be end up seeing two smaller events you might see at the Wrestle Factory. This is going to be one mega card, totally free. All proceeds to benefit the Polaris Foundation, which is going to be, that's always a fun day. National Pro Wrestling is always an exciting time, and I think that this year will be no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to see, you know, who, you know, will be in the tournament, who will come gunning for the cup. Like, I've seen so far that the Hermit Crab has entered, and having, from what little I saw of him at Babylon Springs, I'm entertained, and I want to see more.
Breaking up a little bit, I'm afraid, Chris.
Sorry. I said that I see that, you know, one of the people in the tournament so far is the Hermit Crab, and I'm really looking forward to see what he and the Cajun Crawdad will bring to the table this season, because if memory serves me, I don't think there have been very many crustacean wrestlers in history.
No, I can't think of any. I guess the Grand Naniwa is famous for his crab walk of the second rope, and of course there's the Boston Crab.
Yes.
But yes, as far as a full-on wrestler, I don't think so. I guess it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of them. I believe the newest graduates of the Wrestle Factory.
Yeah, I think if memory serves me correctly, I believe there was a gentleman up in New England who went by the alias of Lobster Man that you guys did a couple things with a few years ago. But beyond that, I think, you know, these two might be the next for the great.
Well, we do have a sea creature friend named Steven the Turtle Liner, but not quite at the full-on crustacean time.
True, and of course, how can we forget the Mini-Man Monster Hydra.
Yes, of course. One of my all-time favorites.
I have to say, like, I love the fact that, you know, that there's just so much that, you know, Chikara as a whole has to offer. Like you said, the live events, Chikaratopia, I enjoy, like, going back and watching some of the older events and, like, looking around. It's like, oh, there's me in the crowd. There's someone else in the crowd. There's someone else in the crowd. Yeah. And then it's like, wow. Look
it's
how
really
young.
Fun to go back and watch the old events and see guys that went on to be members of the roster in the crowd. If you go back to, like, 2005, you see Leonard and Chikara sitting in the second row.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other guys that ended up joining up at the Wrestle Factory, you see in the crowded events, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's all there spread out before you. No boundaries. Well, except I guess the only boundary is, you know, the shows that haven't been uploaded yet, but those are all coming in time, I'm sure.
Yes. Wait, which show hasn't
been uploaded yet? I think things are looking pretty complete so far. I mean, I know there's like some gaps in season one, but I'm sure like those might be hard to come by being way back.
Videos and transfers. I don't know. I'm not privy to that information, but 2002 feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh boy,
you're making me
feel old
again, Chris.
Hey, believe me, I'm right there.
I had slightly more hair back then. Slightly more hair, which hurts.
I know how you feel. 2012, that was the year I graduated high. I mean, 2002, that was the year I graduated high school. Yikes.
Yeah. Alas. We still enjoy it, so that counts for something.
Exactly. All right, so it's like on a topic, you know, wholly separate from Chikara, I must ask about one of your other endeavors. I can never get the name right. Is it the Organization of the Secret Pants? I know it's Secret Pants.
Secret Pants, yes. That's not very active nowadays. Had a big event over the holidays that we kind of do an annual variety comedy show we put together at this venue called Johnny Brendan's here in Philadelphia. But other than that, everyone's married, there's some kids in the mix, so we've all kind of grown up and there isn't a whole lot of time to sit around and write sketch comedy. We do get together every once in a while. Once in a while, if we have an idea, we'll do something with it, but there's definitely no regular structure, and I think real life and real jobs, the priorities have kind of shifted now that we're in our early to mid-30s, if I may say, but we still get together, and I mean, basically, they're my college buddies, and they're my fraternity. Whenever we get together, it's like we just miss the beat, and I always enjoy seeing them around, and, you know, we've all been to all of each other's weddings and all that stuff, and we've really, anyways, grown up together. Two of the members of Secret Pants met in Secret Pants and married each other, so that was kind of cool. So, yeah, they're kind of my extended college family, and even if we're not actively creating anything, we'll always be in each other's lives, I'm sure. And we get to, much like Chikaratopia, go back in the mirror and look at all this crazy stuff we did when we were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know I've seen, you're still very active in the, sketch world in Philadelphia. I know I've seen that you've hosted some events at the Philly Improv Theater, if memory serves me correctly. I know some of the guys in the roster have done stuff with UCB and The Midnight Show. Were you involved in any of that as well?
Yeah. I went to Los Angeles with Elvio the Ice Cream and Chuck Taylor in 2014, and then we ended up doing some stuff at the UCB Theater in New York in 2015. When I started my sketch comedy career, I would have never, if you gave me $1 million, I would have never said that I got to the UCB stage by doing wrestling comedy, not sketch comedy. But lo and behold, I've done wrestling comedy in Atlanta and Austin and New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and a little bit Toronto. So that's the crazy life I lead, and my two hobbies crossed over more than one would think, I suppose. But yes, I got all these cool opportunities, especially being such a comedy nerd and being such a fan of the UCB when I was younger in college, even high school. Getting the opportunity to perform on both their stages is pretty crazy and something I'll never forget.
I can imagine.
My proverbial bucket list didn't have too many left on it. I checked one off this year, which is really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine that's quite the to use a cliche, that's quite the feather in the cap. Like I will admit, I'm not as overly familiar with you know, the UBC, the UCB, as some people have, but through listening to, like, various podcasts, like Comedy Bang Bang and Improv for Humans, and I'm hearing a bunch of people who talk about being involved with the UCB, like it conjures more and more of a picture of my mind and how interesting of a organization is probably to be part of. So the fact, the fact that, you know, getting to, you know, perform at their venue, I'm sure it's got to be, like, unbelievable.
Also, another one of my weird new hobbies, a Quizzo host. I'm actually hosting Quizzo at the Franklin Institute this evening. There's a this thing called Science After Hours, where they bring in people on Tuesday nights to walk around. They sell beer, and they kind of have some special exhibits out. And there's a different theme every month, and this month's theme is Speakeasy Science. It's kind of a Prohibition 1920s type thing. So
interesting.
I got a sheet in the car, and I'm heading over there now, as a matter of fact. So
Good stuff. Well, I figure, you know, since you are in route to that, I figure now is a good point to begin wrapping this up. So I'll just say this much. For 2016, Bryce, what do you hope to see in your life in 2016? Personally, professionally, wrestling-wise, comedy-wise, what do you hope 2016 holds for you?
Well, I think a lot of the things that you know, used to sweat, you kind of sweat a little bit less when you get a little bit older, and I think that I'm proud of what Chikara is and what it's become and what it's created and all the wrestling stars it's created and how much of that I've been lucky enough to be a part of and see, you know, all these, so many of these NXT guys that spent some time in Chikara. It's just it's a point of pride to look back on it, and I feel like I just say this all the time, but I still believe that Chikara is pro wrestling for the non-pro wrestling fan. Comic book fans, cosplay fans, all those different kinds of outlying media, people that like the Harlem Globetrotters, people that like Monster Truck Jam, people that like the Blue Man Group, people that like Cirque du Soleil. Chikara is wrestling for you. And pro wrestling has a bad stigma. People picture Hulk Hogan, people picture The Rock, people picture Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's all well and good. And those are all inspirations, but that's not what we do. I don't know if you saw Mike gave a speech recently, and I think that he sums up really well. That's what we're about. We're not your father's pro wrestling. We're not pro wrestling as it were in the 80s and even 90s and even 2000s. It's just kind of an affordable night of live entertainment. Guys receiving themselves out there for to entertain the fans. And I really believe that Chikara isn't like anything else. And if every one of our fans just brought one friend to an event, I would be willing to bet they'd have a great time. Just trying to spread the word, and you know, new fans. We're not going to sell out and pack every venue, but if we leave people with a story and experience, and they normally tell someone that someone comes, and you know, there was a day at some point somebody told me about Chikara, and that was probably 9 years ago, or you found out about it online, or however you found out about it, you've been coming back ever since. And those experiences with fans like you are very powerful and very important. And just looking to spread the gospel one set of eyes at a time, Chris.
Yeah, that's a good goal. I think that's pretty much, you know, all anyone could ever ask for.
I agree.
All right, so, Bryce, if people want to find you on social media, and I think they should, how do they do so?
Yeah. Well, thank you. They could find me on Twitter at DaBryce, B-A-Bryce, is right. I talk about wrestling sometimes, even all the time. You can follow Chikara at Chikara Pro, ChikaraPro.com for information about Chikara, ChikaraTix.com for tickets for our season 16 premiere in Philadelphia on January 30th, and events on there all the way into June at this point. So, yeah, come along for the ride, bring a friend, let's have a good time, let's smile and laugh, and enjoy some pro wrestling together, huh?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, and that will do it for this edition of Witty Banter. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Questions, comments, feedback, and so forth can be sent to my email address, which is chrismcg1983@gmail.com. That's chrismcg1983@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter. That's @DramaGuyCJM. DramaGuyCJM. If you're on Facebook, consider liking the page for my podcast and such on there. It's Thoughts Out of Context Productions, with the word productions in quotations. If you feel so inclined, please check out my Patreon page and consider becoming a patron of the show. It's www.patreon.com/drumaguycjm. That's patreon.com/drumaguycjm. By becoming a patron over at Patreon, you have the option to donate a little amount of money for each podcast episode that's posted, and your donations go to helping to improve the quality of the show. At the moment, I'm trying to hopefully be able to upgrade my Podomatic account, since that's where the podcast is hosted. If I'm able to upgrade it to a pro account, that will get me more storage space and more monthly bandwidth, which means I'll be able to store more episodes on there for a longer period of time, and maybe even also larger episodes without having to delete the back catalog every so often. And for contributing as little as $1 per episode, for being a patron, I will thank you personally at the end of every podcast I do, and we've reached that point, so thank you to my current patrons, Rachel Delecta and Eddie Landis. And the patron reward system is cumulative. For every $5 worth that you donate through the show as a patron over on Patreon, that counts as what I dub a credit for you to suggest something for me to watch for my other podcast, This Is Gonna Suck. Because let's face it, I want to reward you for helping out, and what better way to reward you is for giving you the opportunity to suggest material to make me suffer / entertain you. Okay, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you for listening. The plan is to have this posted on the 23rd, and I know that a lot of the East Coast is going to be in the midst of a massive snowstorm, myself included, so as you're listening to this, stay safe and be careful this weekend, okay? Next weekend, the 30th, will be the next episode of Everything is Fantastic. I'm going to try and have that recorded and up before I head to Philadelphia for the day for the Chikara season premiere. And I'm thinking this episode for Everything is Fantastic, the theme will be the video games made by the good folks at Telltale. So, stick around, and I hope you'll enjoy that. So until then, this is Chris McGinnis saying thank you for listening. Bye-bye.